Luke chapter number 10. Some years ago, I remember the story. I think it was four Fairport girls driving. It was about 10 years ago now. And four Fairport girls driving. And I think the driver was texting, and all four passed away. It was a big news story, and they were, I think, in their senior year or something of that sort. Distractions can be dangerous. And I'll tell you this, the enemy uses distraction regularly to help keep you off course. He takes simple things, things that we deem necessary and most important, maybe work, family, all of these things, and he uses things that in themselves would not necessarily be evil or wrong, but when they distract us from the Lord himself, they become an obstacle. They might even to the effect of become an idol, where that gets more attention than God himself in our life. And the enemy does this on a regular basis to help us lose our wonderment of God. And this morning we're going to try and slow things down. We live in a busy lifestyle. We are either coming or going. Very rarely are we just resting. Very rarely do we slow our life down and just think about things, consider things. With any moment of downtime, we're using it to fill while getting projects done. Am I against projects? No, I think they're great. Get them done. But be careful that we not get to the point of, as the Bible says, to be still and know that I am God. There's a direct connection between stillness and an acknowledgement that God is who he says he is. So, if that's the case, here's our premise for today. If that's the case, stillness, thought, hearing, leads to me knowing God in a deeper way. You know what the devil's going to attack? The stillness. He's going to try and get us so busy, we're not even thinking about these things over here. So does that really happen? Luke chapter number 10. Now it came to pass as they went, in verse 38, Luke 10, 38, and it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary. I would say named, but anyways. And she called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. The Bible tells us about these two sisters, Mary and Martha. Martha is the one that received him, greeted him, brought him into the house. Mary is just seated at the feet of Christ. Martha was cumbered about much serving. Is there anything wrong with serving? Absolutely not. And it came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she should help me. Now, there is a reason we're preaching this morning while the little people are in Sunday school. They will use this and abuse this. God, Mom, I'm just going to go over here and pray while it's dishes time. No, hold on now. But there is a very important truth here. Martha comes to Jesus and says, hey, I'm the only one taking care of stuff. Mary's just sitting there. I'm busy. I'm doing right. I'm serving. And she's just sitting there. Verse 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. What happened to Martha? She got distracted. She got caught up with the busyness. She got caught up with, yes, important things, but it was time for worship. Verse 42, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to sing praises to your name. God, I pray that our worship time was one of purity, one of sincerity, that the words that we said weren't just pages of recited words, but truly the songs of our heart. God, as we open up your word here today, I pray that we would, in some manner, some fashion, slow life down a little bit to be able to hear and communicate with you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us with this. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Stillness. Matthew chapter number 6 tells us you can't love... Well, go there. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse 24 reminds us, no man can serve, what? Two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And that's kind of what we saw with Martha and Mary. I can't do the dishes, or I can't tend to these other things and worship at the same time. There's got to be a point in our life where we just stop everything else and recognize God is in control. And the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. My children would rather be spanked than have to sit still. Just get it out of the way. Spank me. Just let me go do. And God knows this about us, and he says this, sit down. Just stop for a minute. Does that mean we neglect our God-given responsibilities? Hey, we have a Christian school. And in our Christian school, I'm thankful for our Christian school. I love our Christian school. I love every single child that has ever come through our Christian school. I mean that with all my heart. But there is some deviousness about the procedures and the things that we're doing that they're looking for loopholes all the time of, well, they didn't actually say, and they're trying to cut corners. Hey, when it says, be still and know that I am God, I think we can understand what we're talking about here. We don't not go to work. We don't neglect our family. But there ought to be a moment, a time in our life where we just slow things down and it's just me and God. It's just you and the Lord. Or else we're going to stop knowing that he is God. Be still, and in that stillness, and know that I am God. Second half of the verse says this, and I will be exalted among the, not the brethren, it says this, and I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. He wants... He's not expecting the heathen to do this. He's expecting you and I to do this. Be still. There's 2 points of the service this morning. Number one, be still. Number two, know that I am God. To be still. My sister lives up in Lake Placid, and there's two lakes opposite of each other where she lives. So she lives here. Out this way is Lake Placid. Lake Placid is named, well, correctly, because it is a still lake. It is still. It's placid. The other lake right off to the side is called Mirror Lake. And sure enough, you catch that on the right day, you catch the water with the backdrop of the beauty and the trees, and it is a reflection of what you're looking at. Stillness. Imagine if we sat still for a little while with the Lord. On a regular basis, set aside time, just you and God, just to be still and do what? It's amazing when you're still what you hear. All this time we've been in here and there's action and moving and we're singing and all that kind of stuff. Maybe some of you haven't even heard the air conditioning. Oh, look at that. It's running. Didn't even know. When we are still, we hear things that we would not normally hear when we're in motion. Now, let's take this and ascribe this to our relationship with the Lord. If I am constantly, like Martha, just busy doing this and doing that, maybe the Lord is speaking and I can't hear just because in the busyness of things. That's why God says, here, Nick, here's what I want you to do. I want you to just sit down for a moment and just listen to me. If you know me, that's difficult. And if you're anything like me, that's difficult. But God says it's necessary. Because I'm speaking to you, and you won't hear me unless you just stop. Told you the story, but a little while ago, we have a porch on our house. We have a deck and a porch, and I like to sit on the porch. That's where the rocking chairs are, and the bees are on the deck. So I leave the bees to the deck. They can have the deck. I like the porch. And I'll sit there, and not a lot of traffic goes by, but man, if you're just quiet for a little while, you train your ear, you can start hearing things. Not things that aren't there, but like hearing stuff. All of a sudden, it sounds like a truck is coming through the bushes off of the side. No, it's just a squirrel. And you hear this one bird, and he's singing over here, and the other one's answering over here. But you wouldn't hear it if you weren't still. Yeah. Hey, Dad, what you doing? Shh, hold on a second. Now be quiet for a minute. Just listen. Listen what? Nothing. Let's take that over again to our relationship with the Lord. If we turn it all off, turn it all down, put it all away, what are you listening to? I'm just listening to God. I'm just going to be still. The Bible tells me this in John chapter 10 and verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And all too many people are not following the Lord. Why? Because they have not been still and just listened to what God has told them to do. They're Martha in the kitchen, busy about things, while Mary's seated at the feet of Christ. They're worshiping. And we get so busy about things that we fail to recognize our relationship with the Lord. Be still and hear. You can hear things when you're still that you would not normally hear. Romans chapter 10 reminds us in verse 17. Look there, Romans 10, 17. We are living through a generation, maybe a second generation, that is programmed, that has to be constantly stimulated mentally, physically, visually, audibly. Silence is a formula for insanity. And there's got to come a time when you just turn everything off and just listen to the Lord. Be still, he says. In verse 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing. But imagine you're not in a place, you're not in a situation, and hearing by the word of God. Imagine if you're not in a place to be able to hear. Again, John 10, 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Imagine the Lord giving direction, and you just can't hear it. Not that he's not speaking, you just can't hear it. As a parent, we all know there's a very strong difference between hearing and listening. So what's the difference? Well, hearing is just getting the sound to your ear. Listening is giving attention. As a parent, we know this. Our children can hear us, but they're not listening. Listening is taking what we hear and applying it. Luke chapter number 11. Luke chapter number 11. Why does God have to put a command in there? Be still and know that I am God. Because the devil is doing everything he can to keep you busy not to know that he is God. Again, Christians get squirrely when they start forgetting that God is in control. You can look out over the landscape of society and culture and go, wow, things are upside down. But don't you remember that God's in control? Oh, You're in Luke chapter 11, right? We'll read verse 28. I want to show you something. Luke 11, 28 says, but he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God. And look at now. And keep it. There was some listening. There was some attention. There was some paying attention to those things. So as God speaks, there's an expectation that not only does he speak to you, he expects you to then take it and apply it. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. And then what? Because they listened, they applied it, and now they're following. But we can't hear that in the busyness of life. Again, I'm not advocating or you quitting on your responsibilities. I'm just saying maybe there's some things in your life that create so much noise spiritually that you can't hear the Lord. That when he does speak, you're so plugged in or you're so separated from his voice that you're no longer following him. We saw this verse in our Sunday school class. I'll read it to you. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. He says, the world's a mess. I acknowledge it, but I expect you to still follow me. And again, Christians get a little squirrely when they forget that. It's not strange that the world is crooked and perverse. That's what it is. That's why God took the nation of Israel and says, I want you separated unto me. That's why he takes the church and says, I want you to be a called out assembly. That's why one of the doctrines of our Bible is called separation. That's why one of the doctrines of our Bible is sanctification. He wants us separated and use us. But imagine we can't hear that instruction. Imagine we get so caught up in the craziness of this world, we fail to recognize that God is who he says he is. Well, we're in a mess then. The world's going to act like the world. The problem is when the Christians start acting like the world. And that happens when we can't hear. Can't hear instruction. Can't hear the next command. Why? Because we've spent no time with him. We've not sat down for a moment in the stillness and just listened. Ever talk to someone and as you're talking to them, you realize that they're not listening to you? Benjamin's like, "Ooh, better perk up." All right. No, you weren't. You were very, we were like this. That's frustrating as a person talking. I'm going to stop talking because you're not listening. Thankfully, the Lord is a little more gracious to us than we are to one another. When you're still, you hear things. Hear things from the Lord that you wouldn't hear otherwise. When we're still, we listen. That means give of attention to what I'm hearing. When we're still, we see things that we wouldn't normally see. Sometimes we forget as Christians that God is still working around us. But if we're so busy in serving, we miss out on the worship of who God is. Back to Luke. That we fail to see God working in this individual, or we fail to see God doing this in your own personal life. We miss it all because we're so busy. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 reminds us how we ought to look. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Can I encourage you to make sure there's some time in your life where you just slow down and just ask the Lord, God, what is it that you want me to hear from you? So how do I do that? How does he speak? And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Turn off the device. Turn off the distractions. And spend some time in the Scriptures. God, will you speak to me? Will you help me to see things differently? Will you help me to not lose focus? Not only do we hear things, not only do we listen, not only do we see things when we're still, but we are not just seeing things, we are aware of our surroundings. This morning I came out into the kitchen. Hudson had already been up, I believe, and made himself an egg sandwich. I think. Was that this morning? I think it was this morning. I came out and I saw the, we have like a 10-inch skillet, you know, your normal frying pan, and the pan was turned in such a way where the hot skillet pan handle was where people walk by. And I thought, you know what? That's not a good idea. Why? Because I've seen people in my house be somewhat oblivious to their surroundings. Although they're seeing, they are unaware of things that are peripherally around them, and that could cause some danger. So take it and just spin it off to the side. Awareness. See, we see things, but are we aware of what's going on around us? Are we sensitive to the things that are around us? 1 Peter chapter 5, look there. 1 Peter chapter number 5. And verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He says, be vigilant. He's saying, pay attention. He tells us to walk circumspectly. What does that mean? Paying attention to the things that are around us. Be aware. Are you aware of the sin which does so easily beset you? Are you aware of what's going on around you? Are you aware of how the devil tries to bring sin to your front door? Are you taking action to keep that door closed or keep separation between that? Why? Because that will keep us away from the Lord. Or are we taking efforts to not just see, but be aware? Are we aware of the righteousness which is around us? Do we actively try and surround ourselves with those things? Hebrews chapter number 5, look there, please. Be still and know that I am God. When we're still, we hear things that we wouldn't normally hear. We would see things in a new way, in a way that we wouldn't normally see. Last night we were over at the Burkhart's for dinner, and the kids were playing outside, and they had this little bow and arrow thing. And they're, remember jarts, lawn darts? It reminded me of that last night. So all the kids are playing, and they take this arrow and they shoot it as high as they can into the sky, and then try and catch it on its way down. Now it had a padded end on it, right, Riley? At one point, someone sent it up and it got caught in the tree. I knew it got caught in the tree, not because I saw it going into the tree, but I saw all the kids doing this, looking. So I had to focus in, okay, where is it? And I'm kind of going branch by branch up, trying to see that. Hey, Dad, what you looking? Where is it? What branch is it on? See, we see things, but are we aware of what's going on around us? Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14 says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of a full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. How can you do that? How can you exercise between good and evil if you not get direction from God, if you're not seeing it right? So how do I do that? Be still. When we're still, we can hear things we wouldn't normally hear. We would see things in a new perspective. What do you spend your time thinking about? Martha was very efficient in the kitchen. Kind of mad that she was doing it by herself. Mary was at the feet of Christ, worshiping. Martha had the idea, and she really thought she was right. Say, how do you know that? Because she came to Jesus and complained. And oftentimes we get caught up in it all, and we think we're right. And Christ says, no. Actually, Martha, you're wrong. You're cumbered about. You're missing what is most important. You're not still. Be still. It'll allow you to hear and see things that you wouldn't normally hear. Great way for that is just spend some time in the Word of God and in prayer. He says, because when you do that, you will know that I am God. Psalm number 83. We'll look at a few verses and then we'll be done. Psalm 83. Psalm 83 in verse 18. That men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah. I like how it's written on the page there. All capital letters. Art the most high over all the earth. Do you know that? If we knew that, we would worry less. We would complain less. We would fret less. We would be distracted less if we recognize that God is the most high. The Bible says that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the most high over all the earth. So how do I know that? By being still. If it says be still and know that I am God, here's what is seen as God, as who he is. Imagine missing that thought. Psalm 100. We'll look at some verses in Psalms. We'll go to Isaiah, 1 Kings, and then we'll be done. I just want to encourage you here this morning to slow down a little bit. Not get so caught up with the things of this life, but be still and know that I am God. Psalm 100, verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and we, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We're His creation. And it says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. There's a group of people that don't recognize that God is who He says He is, but also man is not who God says they are. We're a unique, special creation by God Himself. And some people miss that because they're not still. They have no relationship with the Lord. Over the years, I've had some wonderful conversations with people about taking steps of faith and growing in the Lord. I've also had some very heartbreaking conversations of people that questioned their value in life and contemplated and said words similar to this, of this world would be better without me. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We're His creation. We're special to Him. And it could be possible that we get so caught up in this life that we miss this fact. Psalm chapter number 57. Psalm 57. When we recognize God is for who He is, when we know that God is who He is, we see Him as the Most High. We recognize we are His creation. Look at Psalm 57 and verse 5. It says, be Thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let Thy glory be above all the earth. A little while ago, my boys and I, we were We were actually taking Sam to the airport in Buffalo. And as we were walking from our car to the door to get into the terminal, we walked by a car that to us is pretty cool. Taking a couple pictures of it. You're kind of in awe of the thing. Not that we get to see things like that often around, not a lot of those vehicles in Hamlin where we live. Do we still look at the Lord that way? Wow, God. Glory to you. You're so amazing. How do we lose that as Christians? If there was a group of people that should have it, it should be us. Maybe it's because we got so busy about us. We've lost the glory of God. Psalm 21. I like this one. Psalm 21 and verse number 13. Psalm 21, 13 says, "Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, so will we sing and praise thy power." When we're still. What does that mean? Again, not a neglect of our God-given responsibilities, but when we dedicate some thought and some time to hearing God speak to us. We know that, be still and know that I am God. And in knowing that He is God, there will be an appreciation, a thankfulness, a wonderment about Him that turns into song, it says. So will we sing and praise thy power. How's your praise of Him? He is the Most High. We are His creation. He ought to be glorified. He ought to be praised by us. Isaiah chapter number 2. And we're almost done. Isaiah chapter number 2 and verse 17. "And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and his haughtiness of and the haughtiness of man shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day." There's going to come a day when, and again, we were looking at this in Philippians, when man is humbled before God. But we don't have to wait till that day. It would be wise of us. "Be still and know that I am God," he says. That would create a natural humility. When we get so busy, we lose our humility. We lose our praise. We lose our glory. We lose our wonderment and awe of God. Can I encourage you to be still? Be still and know that I am God. He says this, "And I will be exalted among the heathen." Isn't that what we want? We want God to be exalted among the heathen. "I will be exalted in the earth." What this world, what our nation, what our state needs more than ever before is the Lord to get involved. How does that happen? It rests on your shoulders, it seems. It seems for us to align our priorities with what God says. The last verse we'll look at, 1 Kings chapter number 18. Familiar story. One story that we love. There's sarcasm, there's mocking, there's the winning for the good side. It's got the formula for everything we love. Elijah. God against the servants of Baal, right? We're familiar with it. In the midst of a 3.5-year drought, they take tons of water and dump it upon the altar. in verse 36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. We're in 1 Kings chapter number 18 and verse 36. 1 Kings 18:36. And said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their back again. God, will you use my life somehow to encourage it, those that have turned their back on you to come back to you? There's a lot of things we can spend our time on. There's a lot of things we can, I'll use this phrase, there's a lot of things we can waste our time on. How much of your weekly schedule was spent being still, speaking to the Lord and allowing Him to speak to you? The result will be that you know that He is the Lord, and that He will be exalted among the heathen, and He will be exalted in all the earth. Let's all stand. I'm going to ask you this. No one looking around, heads bowed, eyes closed. We're probably not going to have an invitation maybe this morning, but I do want to ask you a question. Nobody looking around. Some of you would say, Pastor, I am more like Martha than I am Mary. I am busy. Yeah, hands all over. Through the Word of God this morning, the Lord touched my heart about dedicating some time to just being still. Anybody like that here this morning? All right. The decisions have been made in your heart. I ask that you consider these things. Go and execute these things. Hey, if there's something that hinders this in your life, yeah, get that thing out of there. Again, not that we neglect. Please, don't get me wrong here, please. To be still and know that I am God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. God, once again, I am thankful for your patience. I am thankful that you do not treat me as all too often I treat others. God, I'm thankful that your care and your long-suffering and patience towards us is truly unlike anything we have ever seen. God, I pray that you'd help us this week to dedicate some time, that we would get into the habit of just slowing life down and just spending time with you, that we could hear you, that we could see you, and then in turn, that we would know that you are the Lord. Lord, forgive us for not giving the praise to you. Forgive us for not giving the glory, and forgive us for our pride. And Lord, I pray you'd help us with these things. Lord, I pray you'd watch over us now, protect us as we travel home. Lord, help us to come back in a few hours with the endeavor to worship you yet again. Lord, we love you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a good afternoon.